I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores.
I never would have imagined that I would have gone from like the girl like in a city that never did anything outdoorsy at all to someone that now is like, I want a winter hike and I want to camp in the winter and I want to like, well, I want to camp all year round if I can.
This is Kristen Berkeley, founder of Amplify Outdoors. Kristen reached out to me last fall because she wanted to share her story of turning her life upside down and moving to the subarctic. When we first connected, I realized that I didn't know anything about the Northwest Territories in Canada, what it's like to recreate there, or the kind of wildlife you might stumble across. Kristen didn't know a whole lot either.
So how did you come to live in Yellowknife?
I think that's like the famous question everyone asks me all the time, like, what happened? How did this happen?
The short answer, Kristen was offered a job opportunity to work in the subarctic. But the longer answer speaks more to her nature. It wasn't just about the job. She ended up deciding between an offer in her hometown of Toronto and one in Yellowknife. One would totally change her life, and she wanted to see what was out there.
It just seemed like one of those things where you just figure, let's try it out, let's give it a chance. Because like, how often are you going to get the opportunity to work in the subarctic? So I jumped at the chance. I really didn't even think about it, to be honest. It was like I didn't second guess it. I was like, yes, I'm doing this. And then I told all my family and friends. And they were like, oh, okay.
So at that time, you were looking for a change because you grew up in the Toronto area too. So this was a really big change for you.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I wasn't expecting the north. Like, it's almost like it called me because I wanted change. Like, I knew I wanted to leave Toronto and I wanted to live somewhere else. I just felt like I wanted to get away. I did not expect I'd be moving to the Northwest Territories. I was just really trying to gain some new life experience.
Adventure can be a lot of different things. On She Explores, I've talked with women who have traversed Antarctica, climbed the seven summits, devoted themselves to fighting the climate crisis, women who have found peace and tranquility painting in the outdoors. Adventure can also be taking a leap and moving almost 3,000 miles from home in one of the coldest months of the year.
I remember in the interview, they were telling me things because they're like, oh, you know, we also have a summer here, just so you know, like, and we also have this. Like, I guess because I was also going to be moving there in the dead of winter, which I should also highlight. And I think that they were kind of nervous that I wasn't going to come because they know that it's cold. I was moving there in January, and January is like one of the colder months.
To give you some context, as I record this from the warmth of my home in New Hampshire, it's January 25th, and the high in Yellowknife is a balmy 7 degrees Fahrenheit. On Monday, the high will be negative 26 degrees Fahrenheit. The average temp is negative 12 degrees Fahrenheit in January in Yellowknife. I honestly don't even think my brain can comprehend that. Kristen figured, well, it's cold in Toronto too. I'll invest in a heavy-duty jacket, and I'll be good to go. She didn't have a lot of preconceived notions about the subarctic, but she was wary on one point.
I mean, maybe the only thing that kind of briefly crossed my mind was, okay, I guess I'm going to be the only Black person there. Like, maybe there's not going to be a lot of us out here. Because I think as a Black woman, like, I'm very aware of my visibility.
The city of Yellowknife is majority white, with a large Indigenous population, 23% as of the last census in 2016. The rates are much higher outside of the city. Yellowknife is chief dry geese territory. From time immemorial, it's been the traditional land of the Yellowknives Dene First Nation. I've linked a resource in the show notes if you want to learn more.
I think it's definitely increased, to be honest, in the last couple years since living here. I've been living here now for almost 4 years. January will mark my fourth year of living in the north. I can say that, like, when I walk down the street, I will often see other people of color. And Yellowknife is kind of a more mixed demographic because we have Indigenous people, but we also have like other different ethnicities living here. So I've seen Asian people, and there's a Spanish community here. There's an African community here. I believe there's also a Caribbean community here. I don't know too many Caribbean people here, but I know there's quite a large African community here. I don't know the exact numbers, but I kind of feel like I'm in Toronto at times. That's how diverse I sometimes feel it is. Because we're the capital and we're like the city, I think you have more people from like different areas coming here and staying here. Whereas I think like other communities, you're not going to see as much diversity.
4 years ago, Kristen shares that she had a very different relationship with the outdoors. She hadn't grown up doing outdoor recreation activities like hiking or camping. Back in Toronto, she had a lifestyle blog where she wrote about fashion and makeup and cooking. Getting in the outdoors hadn't crossed her mind, though the North held an appeal regardless. But when she arrived, she experienced short, brutally cold subarctic days for the first time. The sun rose after 9 a.m. and set around 4 p.m.
It definitely was like a very interesting first couple of like weeks of trying to adjust to life in the North because of the darkness, right? And then like you don't really want to like adventure as much because it's cold and it's very new. And you're like, okay, I don't want to spend too much time getting like too much time outdoors and being lost, right? And then slowly, like for the first like 6 months of being there, I was just like, I started to like make friends and like I started going out. That was great. And then one day one of the girls was like, hey, let's go on a hike to Cameron Falls, which is this really beautiful waterfalls in the Northwest Territories, in Yellowknife, I should say. And I was like, okay, cool. So we go and I'm like, wow, this is really beautiful. And that was like my first experience hiking outdoors. That was the first time. And I really enjoyed it, but I didn't like, again, really know how to continue going with that. I didn't have a vehicle at the time. And most of my friends didn't seem to be interested in that. They were really more into like the whole restaurant kind of vibe. It took me a while, but once I started to make more friends that were into the outdoors, I would ask them like, hey, do you want to go camping with me? And then that's when like things really started rolling. And then I was like, wow, like I really enjoy this. Like I really enjoy hiking. I really enjoy camping. I really enjoy like this water activity. I just started to try different things that I had never done. And then, you know, like I just got super curious. And it's like, if I haven't tried this and I don't know if I'm going to enjoy it, let me do it now. And let's like give it a go and see if it's going to be something that I'm going to want to start to like participate in more often. So it started off slowly. It grew into this like big passion, like this love that I have for the outdoors. And I never would have imagined that I would have gone from like the girl like in a city that never did anything outdoorsy at all to someone that now is like, I want a winter hike and I want to camp in the winter. And I want to like, well, I want to camp all year round if I can. But like, you know, like I want to like just be outdoors all the time. And like, I love it. And it's like it's just like such a different experience, you know? I just never would have thought that would have been who I am today. So yeah, it's been really nice to kind of like see that transformation happen. You're living in a remote community and it's like they built a city in the wilderness in a sense.
Yellowknife is a city of 21,000 or so, but it doesn't take long to access nature, whether via trails or when it's wandering on four legs through your backyard.
You just drive out for like 10 minutes and then you go on like there's a road and it's called the Ingram Trail. There's just like campsites and all sorts of different trails and it's really cool. And there's parks and stuff that you can go to and like fish or like do some bonfires and stuff like that. And you really do get the sense that like we're just steps away from wilderness. And like my backyard, I feel like looks like I'm in the forest or the woods because it's just, it has like a very rustic kind of look with like rocks and big rocks and, you know, and lots of wood and trees and lots of bush. And like, it just feels like you're really in the forest, really. because it's like a city and there's lots of people, we don't get a lot of wild animals, but we do see foxes. And sometimes the summer specifically, we had a lot of bears that came into town. So now we're kind of starting to see that. And they would primarily be close to dumpsters, but I haven't seen like wolves or anything like that. Although I know in some communities, like they see wolves often. I know that there was, I think, like a wolverine sighting maybe a year ago, I think in a neighborhood. So there's like different types of like, you do see different animals, but I think for the most part, people feel quite safe. I'm sure in different communities, it really just differs on like the landscape and like the animals that are feeling more comfortable to come out. And yeah, it is nice to kind of just see like different things that I wouldn't see living in a big city. If I'm on a road trip, it's, you know, there's a good chance I'm going to see bison if I'm driving in the Northwest Territories. So it is interesting for sure. I remember going on a hike this summer and spotting a black bear on a trail that I was on. And we were able to kind of like just back away and get away from the bear. But yeah, you definitely just never know what you're going to come across. And you just have to be smart. Like there are real dangers out there. And I've just been taught like very early on from one of my colleagues who told me, you're living in the wilderness, like don't be fooled, because like a lot of people think that because they're in the city that like there's no real threats, but you should be very aware, like be very careful with where you go and like let people know. And like he kind of gave me like a rundown of like just wilderness 101. I've been enjoying the adventure for sure.
We'll hear more from Kristen about how she embraces the cold to get outside, her organization Amplify Outdoors, and more after this. So maybe you're out there listening and you're not ready to pick up and move 3,000 miles away from home, but you are ready to head out on an adventure and experience something new. I know I am. Plan your perfect vacation with Uncruise Small Ship Adventures. Uncruise has a whole lot in common with She Explores. They offer intimate communal experiences with an emphasis on environmental sustainability and responsible travel that allow you to appreciate the local culture. From wherever you're listening, close your eyes and imagine being on board an all-inclusive small ship through Mexico's Sea of Cortez with no crowds, no lines, daily excursions, and fully vaccinated guests. Every trip is all-inclusive, including farm-to-table food, drinks, transportation, gear, and expert naturalists and guides. That sounds better than most boat trips I've been on. Right now, Uncruise is offering big savings on trips to Mexico, Alaska, and more, and they're giving our listeners a great deal. Save $500 to $750 per person on sailings in the Sea of Cortez and Spring in Alaska 7-Night Adventures. Valid on bookings made through April 15th, 2022. To get this fantastic offer of $500 to $750 off per person and to learn more about planning your small ship adventure, go now to my special URL, uncruise.com/explore. Remember, that's uncruise, uncruise.com/explore. One of the things that I love most about making She Explores is having a great team to bounce ideas off of. And if you're looking to help your business grow this year, Indeed makes it easy to hire and build a team with the right skills to make your dreams a reality. If you're hiring, you need Indeed, because Indeed is the hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. And Indeed is the only job site where you're guaranteed to find quality applications that meet your must-have requirements, or else you don't pay. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites hoping to find candidates with the right skills, you need one powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. Indeed partners with you on every step of the hiring process. Find great talent through time-saving tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. With Instant Match, as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of quality candidates with resumes on Indeed that match your job description, and you can invite them to apply right away. I really appreciate the fact that you know you can trust Indeed as a hiring partner because they want the same thing as you, for you to find quality candidates. Even better, with Indeed, you only pay when you receive quality applications that meet your job's must-have requirements. Start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job posts at Indeed.com/explorers. Offer valid through March 31st. Go to Indeed.com/explorers to claim your $75 credit before March 31st. Indeed.com/explorers. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. We're back.
So coming into your fourth, I guess it would be your fourth winter too, if you're entering your fourth year, what are some of the things that you do to embrace the cold? Because I think that's something that a lot of people around the country could use advice on too.
I mean, we've been definitely a lot warmer lately, to be honest. It's been warmer weather. So I think it's like been a little bit more shock on the body as I'm adjusting to like the temperature change a lot here. I think like it just takes time to ease yourself into the cold. I would say like the best way for you to enjoy the outdoors, if you're going to spend time outdoors this winter, is to just dress appropriate for the outdoors. That's really made a big difference for me. And that's how I'm able to spend time outdoors, like, you know, going on long hikes and stuff like that. I would just say like, make sure that you bundle up, like wear layers. That's the trick to living in the north, especially in the winter. You need to layer up, have some good boots, have a, you know, a sweater, a good parka, and, you know, cover up your face. Like I tend to cover up with a scarf and I wear a hat and gloves. And I think it's just like do things that will keep you warm. Like if you need to put, there's like these little heaters that you can put into your mitts, and you can even put them into your shoes. Like I would advise doing something like that if you want to be extra toasty. Just make sure that you like really protect yourself. I think that that will really help you. And try not to, I think some people get really freaked out by the cold. And I mean, I've been there, done that, you know, like definitely it's an adjustment. So like try not to go out there with like a very negative attitude. Have a positive attitude about like your day and your adventure and what you're trying to do when you go outdoors, so that you can actually like enjoy your time out there and want to continue to do it, because it's great exercise if you get to be outside in the winter. You know, like you shouldn't just confine yourself to being inside when it's winter time because like you're too afraid of like the cold. I think like you're really missing out on some stuff. So I really made it a point to like go out a lot last year in particular and just spend time hiking and snowshoeing and just like really being outdoors and embracing the winter and the cold. And I know it's not like a very easy thing, but yeah, like just start off like very slowly. I wouldn't say you have to do anything like too adventurous or too like long. Go for a little bit of a walk or, you know, a small, like a little small hike or something, and just be comfortable. And if you need to, you can like make a little fire if it's in a good space that you're allowed to do something like that. You can do that and have marshmallows and hot chocolate. And that's something that I do. And you can enjoy it. Like you can definitely make it an enjoyable experience. But I think a lot of it is your mindset about it.
Oh, it's such a good reminder that it doesn't have to be a suffer fest, because you just see the temperature and you feel like it's going to be. But no, if you have the right gear, if you also aren't thinking about how quickly can I get back inside? Sometimes I'll do that. If you're just trying to accelerate something so that you can get back indoors, it's not, you might as well not do it. So that's all really good advice. Well, another thing that really was fascinating to me about the place that you live is, you know, you just said that it took a little bit longer this year for it to get to be, to start to feel like winter, for it to start to get as cold as it normally gets. Would you be able to describe what it's like living in a place where you might be a little more attuned to climate change than we are in other parts of North America?
Yeah, for sure. The weather started to act kind of strange when I first moved here. Like I remember my first summer, it just like rained every single day for weeks. And it was strange because everyone kept talking about how beautiful the summers are and how like nice it is. And it's usually really sunny, but it was like constantly raining. And they had said it was like record amounts of rain. So that summer for sure, I wasn't going to be like spending time outdoors for sure. As like the years went by and it started to get less wet. Like we would still have wet summers, but the sun would come up more and it was like you could do things. I started to like think like, okay, I think a lot of this is probably linked to climate change, but I wasn't too sure. Most recently, like it's just been getting a lot warmer and it's really apparent that there are some, like you can really see the impacts of climate change in the north. For instance, one of the rule of thumbs is that like by Halloween, you're always going to have snow on the ground. Well, this Halloween, we didn't have snow on the ground, which is really, I'm sure, great for the kids, but it was very noticeable to people that like something is going on that we didn't have snow on the ground by Halloween. It's not as cold as it should be, and it is like concerning because we also rely on frozen lakes to travel on. So a lot of people will leave communities that they can't like just drive out of. They usually have to fly out, so they're called flying communities. So now a lot of people that are like relying on these roads, they're not secure to like to drive on because they're waiting for these frozen lakes to like turn into like solid ice so they can drive their vehicles to get to other communities or to like, you know, like leave and go wherever they need to go. So we see the impact that that can have on people that are like now just kind of like waiting for it to be secure and safe for them to like drive long distances on this frozen lake. And also it impacts things like shipping. Like if you think about like food supplies and things like that, like we have lots of trailers and like big trucks that come up here and they're like delivering things and shipping things. But like if these lakes aren't frozen, like it completely can impact people in terms of like their food supply and different things that they're waiting for. So yes, there are impacts and implications and people don't realize it. And I'm seeing it in the north, like the Northwest Passage, for instance, there's like these large pieces of ice, like they're always in place and they're now starting to melt. And now like cruise ships are starting to pass through and cruise ships never were able to pass through the Northwest Passage like that before. It was like pretty much blocked off with these large pieces of ice. You're just seeing how much warmer it's getting in the north. And I remember traveling to Nunavut a long time ago when I was a reporter and I was talking to someone and he was telling me like he's starting to see things grow in places he never saw things growing. And it was like, wow, like, you know, we just don't realize that this planet is really starting to warm up faster and it's really changing. And it's concerning. And, you know, there are some communities that are completely like the water is rising so much faster that they have to move their homes because of fear of flooding. Right. And so, yeah, like it's I'm definitely seeing it in the north. Like I'm definitely seeing what's happening with the warmer weather lately and the impact it has. And it is really alarming. And yeah, I think that we're going to start hearing a lot more conversations about this.
Yeah, and it's really good to share those stories like you just shared so that more people are aware of it. Because from what you told me, it can feel like you're in a whole different area of Canada. It's a big country for one. And then two, it's just like a whole different lifestyle that a lot of people are living. So it can, I think you told me it feels like the rules at times, like it feel like the rules don't apply up where you are. So it's just good to share that far and wide when you can.
For sure. Yeah. It's definitely very different at times. It's very much the same and different at times. You know what I mean? Living here. I'm noticing these things and I'm sure other people are too. And it's just, it's really concerning when, you know, you're living somewhere and you're like, whoa, like I like it being warm. I really do. But you do know that like there's an impact, you know? And I feel like when I lived in Toronto, I didn't really notice things as much. Like I sometimes would say like, oh my God, it's so hot and it's because of climate change. But I wasn't like relying on an ice road to travel to another community. And like I used to work in a different community. So I too rely on that ice road sometimes in the winter just to get back and forth from, you know, home to work in the morning. It is definitely, you see the differences for sure. And it's definitely an interesting culture for sure.
Kristen is someone who believes in amplifying issues that affect her and her communities. And diversity in the outdoors is no exception. You heard that she took a leap to move far from home to what she calls a city in the wilderness, a place with a growing amount of diversity, but that the average person might not know a whole lot about. The outdoor recreation world is similar. There are lots of people from all racial and ethnic backgrounds out there, but there's a whole lot of work to be done to increase representation and amplification. Kristen decided to start a company, Amplify Outdoors, in 2020 to help spread the word and gather community in the outdoors. Kristen filled me in on the work she's doing.
So I started Amplify Outdoors because I wanted to help promote and amplify diversity and inclusion in outdoor spaces. There are a lot of different barriers that prevent people from the BIPOC community, so Black, Indigenous, and people of color, from accessing the outdoors. And as a result, we're just underrepresented in outdoor spaces. So Amplify Outdoors seeks to kind of like close that gap and create more awareness and to really promote the outdoors and make it a safe, inclusive space for everyone. It's coming close to 1 year. December will mark the 1 year anniversary. And it's been a really great experience so far. I've found that people are very supportive, and it's just been really nice to grow the community. And to like just see people, you know, showing a lot of passion outdoors and being able to really highlight and amplify that.
And one of the ways that you amplify people of color in the outdoors is through working with designers to create merchandise. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
You know, I kind of woke up one day and I was just really frustrated. I think this was because there was so much going on. This was around the time with George Floyd and Black Lives Matter. I am sometimes, you know, like vocal about the fact that I'm unhappy with what's going on in the world, especially when it comes to the treatment of Black people, but of everyone, like of people from the BIPOC community. And I was just frustrated. I was so upset because I recognized that there was this barrier outdoors for Black people and Indigenous and people of color to experience outdoors and its beauty. And I don't know if I had seen a visual or something or what happened, but I literally just like, I felt like I woke up really just upset about the fact that this was happening. And I was like, I'm going to make a difference. Like, I'm going to do something today. And, you know, I did not expect to start this merchandise line. It's not at all like something that I was like thinking would have happened. And I decided, you know what, I want to create representation. I want people to feel like they can see themselves. I want to bring like this issue to the forefront and really highlight this problem. So I decided to start a collection that I call the Trailblazer Collection. So it's like the first collection I created. There's one that's called a Trailblazer Man and a Trailblazer Woman hoodie and t-shirt. So you can basically get the option of like a hoodie or a t-shirt. The idea is to see a person of color on it. So depending on which one you're interested in, you would see like an individual of color on there. And this could be anyone really. It was just to like really highlight diversity outdoors. And two things. One, that like fill the gap that, you know, there's like a large amount of underrepresentation from people from the BIPOC community outdoors, but also to highlight the people that are outdoors already. So the people that are like from those communities to feel like, hey, I'm important. I am visible. You can see me. And to like, to feel like really excited, like, and feel good about themselves when they're outdoors is to continue to perpetuate like, yes, this is a space that I belong in. And you have that Trailblazer t-shirt with that person of color on there that you can kind of look back on, right? So what I'm doing is we're donating 10% of proceeds from the items that are sold. Each item that's sold, 10% goes back to a charity that I'm working with right now, and they're called Empowerment Squared, and it goes towards their sport and recreation programming for marginalized youth and refugee youth. And basically, you know, it's just trying to give back and get people outdoors and exposed to that. But I am hoping to work with other charities, you know, in the future, and be able to give back to them as well and help to amplify their causes. And really with Amplify Outdoors, like as I continue to grow, like the idea is that like we can also use some of those proceeds towards, you know, maybe creating a scholarship or some sort of fund that we can like give back to the communities at the end of the day. So it's just really important. And like, I just really want to continue to like get people outdoors and really highlight that that initiative. Like, it's just, I feel like nature has so many benefits that a lot of people don't get to experience. So I just really want to like put it out there and continue to like really have those conversations that could be very uncomfortable for people. And I do have people that sometimes say, well, you can just go outdoors. It's just easy. Just go outdoors. And I'm like, actually, there are a lot of barriers to accessing the outdoors. And then you explain it and they're like, oh, I had no idea. So I think it's just to create that awareness and to really like have those conversations. I think that is like kind of like what Amplify Outdoors is trying to do right now. So yeah, we do merchandise. I've also released a Dream in Color collection as well. I'm hoping to release more collections in the future months coming up. Another thing that we're going to be doing is events. So I know with COVID, it is difficult to do events. I'm trying to do like virtual events and initiatives. So right now I have the outdoor dance challenge that I'm doing where I'm asking people to like just show me their joy outdoors and to send me videos of them dancing outdoors and celebrating outdoors, because the outdoors is a beautiful space and it brings so much happiness. So I'm doing like this little challenge to just get people outdoors and excited and hopefully inspire other people to come outdoors. Like the idea behind it is to like inspire others, like bring your friends, have them come and dance with you, like just, you know, show that joy that you feel outside. So I want to do more virtual initiatives and events, and then like also hopefully do some more like actual outdoor events. That's what I'm hoping to be doing in the next coming months. And then another thing too that we provide are like, you know, resources, but also consultation services for organizations. So we provide anti-racism and DEI consultation services to organizations or businesses that are looking to like getting more knowledge and information about like how can they be more inclusive in their marketing or more inclusive and employ like diverse initiatives in their organizations. Those are like the things that right now Amplify Outdoors is working on. And it's been a really great experience. It's been a lot of work, to be honest, but it's been really nice. And the community is so supportive. I look forward to growing the community. I really look forward to like really creating some real change and hopefully having these conversations and seeing some change from like outdoor brands as well to be more inclusive and to just have more representation. I want to see more representation outdoors. So, I mean, these are the goals of Amplify Outdoors, and we're starting out and it's like taking time, but I think that like great things do take time, and I'm really excited with where it's going.
Kristen also wants to emphasize that the Trailblazer collection is for people of all ethnicities and backgrounds, including white people like me. She says a person of color represented on a collection like that, and all people out there wearing it, is one step that will help change the face of the outdoors. The last question I asked Kristen is one that I'm asking myself, and one that I also encourage you to ask yourself as this long, dark winter creeps along, getting brighter by the day.
Hopefully you still have time for yourself to be able to go outside and do the things that you love.
I try to do it. I definitely try to make space for myself to take care of my mental well-being and like my health and so forth. Like every time I feel stressed out or if I'm not in a great mood, I go outdoors because I know like it's like my therapy. Like I feel so much better when I'm outdoors. And I've learned also about like burnout and like just, you know, taking care of yourself. So I've seen it. So I do have days where I'm like, I am not posting. Like I just need to rest. And at the end of the day, I have to also take time for myself and to just like recognize that I'm a human being behind everything, and that like I do need to like make sure that I'm okay and that like I'm in the best health that I can be in, and I'm putting self-care first, because if you don't take care of yourself, like no one really will take care of you. I mean, maybe you have people that can, but for the most part, like you really do need to take care of yourself, because that's when you are like your best self, when you like have taken care of yourself, right? I do really encourage people to take care of themselves, be outdoors if you can. It's so therapeutic. It's so beautiful. There's so many benefits. And yeah, just like continue to love yourself.
Thanks to Kristen Berkeley for taking the time to talk. You can find Kristen on Instagram at travel_adventurehers and Amplify Outdoors on Instagram and amplifyoutdoors.com. All resources are linked in the show notes. If you enjoyed this episode, I know you'll love The Promise of Climbing, featuring Toronto resident Sabrina Chapman. Thanks to our sponsors, Indeed and Uncruise Adventures, for making this episode possible. Discount codes are linked in the show notes. You can find She Explores on social media, our website, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to our bi-weekly newsletter to stay up to date. You can find me on Instagram at Gail Straub. If you enjoy listening, there are different ways to support us. You can subscribe, leave a review, and share with a friend. Head to ratethispodcast.com/SheExplores to easily review. And if you'd like to connect, join us in the She Explores podcast Facebook group. Music in this episode is licensed through MusicBed. This episode was produced and hosted by me, Gail Straub. She Explores is a production of Ravel Media, released bi-weekly on Wednesdays. Next time, we'll be talking with Heather Hansman about her new book, Powder Days. Until next time, stay curious.